My first opportunity and privilege to preach, the Lord had gave me a message. And it was on the four men who were determined to get the man with palsy to Jesus, no matter what it took. They were determined to get him to Jesus, their faith and their determination. And the point that I tried to drive home during that first message was that how we needed to be determined as Christians to get people to Jesus. And were we burdened to get them to Jesus? And after that first message, the Lord began speaking to me and birthed another message into my heart. This is going to be hard preaching, but I don't believe in coincidence. And every one of us here are here specifically at this point right now because of God's hand. And He has orchestrated us to be here at this very moment. So, and the devil has fought me all day on this message. He has come to me and said, preach this or preach that. Don't preach that message that I know the Lord gave me because the weather's bad, because the championship football games are going to be on for a number of reasons. But ultimately, I have to do what God has called me to do, and I am going to declare His word. So I don't know if this message is for someone in particular here tonight, if it's someone that will get it by CD or the internet if it's on there, or if it's maybe one of you all will take it and share it with somebody. But God has a purpose for everything. And so in this message tonight, if I had a title for it, and I don't have no notes tonight, I think the Lord's really weaning me off notes. I study and I write all these things down as He gives me. But, you know, ultimately, I could have a whole stack of notes up here. And unless the Holy Spirit anoints me and uses me, it ain't worth a hill of beans. So I took my notes that I had, and I put them away this afternoon after some prayer. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to stand. I'm just going to trust You. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. If you have your Bibles, if you'd turn to the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, the Old Testament. The 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. And when you find your place, if you'd please stand with me in the reverence to reading of God's holy word. I will begin reading in verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not the warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, Thus she speaks, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And if you'll skip down to verse 30 with me. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they do hear thy words, but they do not do them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I do come bow before you, Lord, humbly, reverently, Lord, knowing I can do nothing tonight without you, Father. I come, Lord, asking your touch upon me. Lord, I pray you'd help me, that I'd stand. Lord, that I'd be an instrument, a vessel, Lord, that you could use. I pray, Lord, that you'd add blessings upon the reading of your holy word. I pray, Lord, that somebody tonight, under the sound of my voice, would receive help. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated.
As I studied this, ain't many of us, so I'm just going to come down here where I can get out of level with you. As I studied this, if I had a title for this message, it would be Profession or Possession. Now, if I profess something, I'm going to state something, or I'm going to declare it. If I look at Dennis and I say, I just spent a couple days at the coast with Janine's parents. If I look at Dennis and say, Dennis, I went down there to the coast for this last couple of days, and I profess to you that I bought 100 acres of some oceanfront property. I'm professing to you. But if I possess something, I own something. There's a vast difference between professing something and possessing something. As the Lord began to deal with me about profession or possession, it was of salvation. Now, I didn't come in here tonight to make you doubt your salvation. That's not what I come here to do. But I stand before you tonight with a testimony, and there's others in here that can stand right beside me as my witness that not always are we appear what we appear to be. When I first started coming to Bethel, I professed to be saved. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came and showed me that I was lost and drew me, put me under a conviction and drew me to an altar where I could get saved. So I can profess, and I submit to you that there's many who profess of salvation, but do they really possess salvation? Story. Two women. They're in a dentist office and they're waiting to be called back. And the one woman looks at this other one and she says, did you hear Mr. So-and-so passing away? And the lady says, yes, I did. That sure was terrible. And the lady looks at her and she said, you know, she said, I never seen any evidence of him leading a Christian life. Never seen him in church. And the other lady said, well, you know, I don't know about that. Said, I remember 25 or 30 years ago on one occasion in church that I remember him making his way to an old-fashioned altar. So I have hopes that his soul's in heaven tonight. And the other lady said, well, I have hopes that he is too. I didn't know that. And I read that little story and I got to thinking, you know, that's the way we look at stuff. You know, it would appear if someone has made their way to an old-fashioned altar
they've accepted Christ as their Savior. I submit to you that may not be always true. I'm not saying we judge each other. Only God knows, and that individual person, whether your name is really written down up there. So there's a vast difference between possession and profession. Possession of salvation, I believe, is under the authority of the Holy Spirit. You won't get saved just any time you want to. Why is there a profession? The Lord got to deal with me about why is there just so many professions. Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to air it out why I think there ain't. Because in today's society, we have, instead of when we come through the church doors, leaving the world out there where it belongs, we drag the world and everything in here and defile the temple of God. This is a holy place. So we've let the world creep into the church. So the Holy Spirit does not have liberty to work. He's not free to do the bidding because we constrain him, constrict him. We tie him down. I don't believe any kind of music should be played. Any kind of music. I don't believe, here's what we've left out. We've left out that cross. We've left out the cross. The pastor can get up here and he can tell a story to us about a parent or a grandmother or, goodness forbid, a child passing away, and there won't be a dry tear in this house. Won't be a dry tear one. But the man of God can stand up here and preach till he's blue in the face about the perfect, sinless Lamb of God that come here and went through everything he went through and preach on that cross at Calvary, and people just sit here. It don't do nothing to us. Have we grown stale to it? Don't preach the blood. Afraid to preach the blood. Afraid we might step on somebody's toes. By way of tape, if this gets recorded, I'm using the Authorized King James Version Bible.
Amen.
And if the Lord ever permits me, I will have a message on this. Why this is the only Bible that I think that we should be using, and why I believe that it's under attack by Satan himself. And how that all these other versions, perverted versions of the Bible that leave out words like the blood, Jesus, the Christ, entire verses. But I believe they're trying to phase this out and usher into one Bible. That's what I believe the Antichrist is doing. He's trying to set up his one world order, and he's wanting one religion and one Bible. So, when I got to thinking about professing, I believe that we'll have fruits. We'll have fruits. I told you this is hard preaching. How rejoicing it is to see somebody come down here and profess to get saved. In a couple of weeks, if they're not here, if they just, what happened to them? Did they really get it? Now, I'm not saying we can lose our salvation. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that. If our salvation were ours to lose, I wouldn't have a chance. And what if I sinned and the rapture took place? What if I sinned, didn't have a chance to confess, and I passed away? Something happened. I couldn't hold my salvation. So that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that Satan would have you to believe, as he did me. He had me to believe in a false sense of security that I was saved when I wasn't saved. And I will submit to you tonight that We give Satan too much credit, and we'll say, the devil's been on my back making me doubt my salvation. Well, are you so sure that it's the devil? Because in my personal case, it wasn't Satan. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, trying to show me that I was lost, that I was going to go to hell. Some people will walk the aisles and profess salvation for fire insurance. Fire insurance. They think they can come down here, maybe some sin that they may have been guilty over, they can confess it, get right back up, go back to their pew. That's a get out of hell ticket. Go back to living the same old lifestyle. Well, that's not the way it works. And my Bible teaches me that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're a new creature. We're a new creature. Brother Jerry's testified about, his old lifestyle. I've got a past, you know. And when Christ moves in and the Holy Spirit indwells us, you know, our wants and our desires change. They should change. I want to read a piece of scripture to you. I'm not going to try to keep you here long because of the weather. Matthew chapter 7. Again, I'm not trying to make anybody doubt their salvation, but it's easy to make a profession. A profession's made with our mouth. We make that with our mouth. You know, we can profess anything, you know. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few have be that find it. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall not know them. Ye shall know them. Not every one, this is what spoke to me. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How sad. Amen. You back up in verse 22 there, it says, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Works ain't going to get it done. You read it this morning in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And works ain't going to get you in. So how are we? So what do you tell me, Shane? Here's what I think. Our churches have got so worldly, so comfortable. I couldn't go into most churches and preach what I'm preaching right now. It threw me all out on my head. But here's what I believe. I believe we need men of God. We need people of God that aren't ashamed, that will stand, that will declare the truth, as Brother Darren said this morning. And the truth is that Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. The blood has to be applied. It has to be. Salvation is a free gift. And it's open to anybody. You know? But we have to receive that free gift. So, profession, or possession. You know, it's a choice. Everything goes back to choices. Ken and I did a whole quarterly in our Sunday school lesson on choices. And that's what it comes down to. It all comes to choices. Choices. And here's what I think. If you cannot bring recollection in your mind and in your heart of hearts, that particular time when you had that personal one-on-one encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ under old-timey Holy Ghost conviction, where you were drawn to an altar, where you were broken and weeping and knew you were lost and going to go to hell, and you confessed. If you don't have that, just wonder, is it a profession? I'm not saying everyone's experience is the same. It ain't. It's personal. It's personal. I'm going to read a few more verses and I'm going to close. This is in the book of Revelation. You don't have to turn there. It's in chapter 20. I'll begin reading with verse 11. Very familiar piece of scripture. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And in chapter 22, this is the Lord speaking. In verse 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." And again in verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." In this last chapter of Revelation, he tells us three times that he's coming quickly. Let me say one or two more things, and I'm going to close and let you go home. I believe confession and repentance go hand in hand. I believe if you truly possess salvation, if you someone that makes their way to an altar to accept Christ, and they confess their sins, I believe there has to be repentance. I truly believe there has to be repentance. I believe that's what's wrong in a lot of churches. They want all the blessings of God, but they don't want the sacrifice, the sufferings, the persecution, or what comes with repentance. Repentance means a change. You have to turn around the ways of our old paths. And speaking of old paths, you know, that's what this country needs. You know, well, I hate to go back to this old King James Version Bible, but I just tell you, if you've never studied the comparisons between the Bibles, the versions, that'd be something very interesting. I challenge each and every one of you to do. You'd be very startled, to say the least. So in closing, I would implore each of you. Maybe you know someone. I know I have a family member in particular that comes to my mind that professes salvation, but yet I've never seen any fruit. I've never seen any good works.
And I wonder, you know, Satan is a deceiver, and he would have us, if you're not truly saved and you are lost, and you've got this false assurance, he would do whatever he can within his power to keep us believing that, because that's his job. And he's going to war against us. So my challenge to you is again, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. That's not what I'm here for. But there is a thing as profession and possession, and there's a vast difference. And in the Word of God, you know, Jesus says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, on that day, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And as my job, as my calling, as unworthy as I am, it is to declare what thus saith the Lord. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the message that the Lord laid on my heart. Profession or possession of salvation. And I do stand and deliver it the best I could. So that's my message. I hope it was a help. I had a dear preacher friend that said he always wants to be a help, and that's what I want to do. I want to be a help. Anytime I get up here and I deliver something, I want it to be in love. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is the message that the Lord told me to stand up here and preach tonight. Okay, if everybody'd stand and bow your heads, I'm going to say a prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I do come bow before you this evening, God. And I thank you for each person, Lord, that came out in this weather and made their way, Lord, showing their devotion, Lord, to you and to your house. And I pray, God, that somebody would have gotten help, Lord, that might have heard from you, that, Lord, if anything, it'd make us more determined, Lord, to tell those that maybe profess, Lord, of your salvation, but Lord, we don't see any fruit. Lord, it may be it birthed in our heart to pray harder, Lord, for them. Lord, we sure realize that, Lord, we can save nobody. Lord, we can do nothing, Father, without you. But Lord, you're able to dispatch the Holy Spirit to that person, speak to their heart. And Lord, we just pray, God, that before it's everlasting too late, Lord, that if they are those that under my sound of my voice that profess salvation, but Lord, they deep down when they search their hearts, they really know they've never had that personal encounter with Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd show them, Lord, before it's too late, that they're lost. And Lord, let them realize that, Lord, there's a Savior standing with open arms that, Lord, went to Calvary and died for each and every one of us, that loves us, Lord, beyond comprehension, Lord. And there's a place waiting called heaven. Oh, Lord, thank you for a place called heaven. God, thank you for this place called Bethel and these people. Lord, I pray you'd keep them safe and give them traveling grace and mercy home. Bless them, Lord, for their attendance to come out in a night like this. Be with our pastor, Lord, in revival. And Lord, we just love you and thank you because you first loved us. And it's in Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen.